Good job. Well done. He's scared to death. I'm glad he made it through without making all the mistakes that I normally make when I do this. So, our epistle lesson this day comes from 1 Timothy. I'm reading from the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 19. Listen for the word of our Lord. Of course, there is great pain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you were made. The good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who is in his testimony before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertain riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. What a wonderful long passage today from this book of 1 Timothy. It's from a letter to Paul to his young charge named Timothy. And it's an encouragement letter overall, something that has encouraged him to keep up the battle, to keep up the fight, what is going on. And basically, how do you survive working in a church somewhere with all the people around you, especially when nobody really believes in what you're saying all the time? He's asking him, or teaching him, how to survive and be a good shepherd to his assigned flock. And our passage today has much to say about things we all need to look out for. So let us dive into this just a bit in a very short few minutes that we have. First, this passage breaks down fairly easily. The first verses 6 through 10 are warning about riches, money in particular. And how the love of money, avarice, is the root of all kinds of evil and causes people to stray from God. I think in this particular economic time that we have, that this might be a good warning to us when we start to stress over our bank accounts. We might need to take a step back and see where we really put our hope in life, whether it is in our investment account or whether it is in the Lord our God. Verses 11 through 16 offers instead of a warning, encouragement to walk along a different path, to take hold of the eternal life by shunning the love of riches and pursuing instead righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. All good things for us to be interested in instead of looking at our portfolio every day and feeling worse and worse and worse. Just in case you happen to be doing that, or if you have a portfolio. In verses 17 through 19, the commands to those who are rich on how they are to behave, to not be haughty, set their hopes on God, to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, so that they may take hold of the life that is really life. The life that is really life. And we'll get back to that, but that is an important thing for us to remember, because that is what this passage is all about, is us attaining the life that is truly life. Not existence, but life. Now, a couple of definitions here. Those who are rich, as Paul says, and very often, if you are like me, we hear something as a note to the rich, and we say, well, that doesn't apply to me at all, because I'm not rich. There's no way I can be considered rich. Because when Scripture says rich, I'm certainly not rich. I am not one of those people that has tons of money and never thinks about the purchase that they're getting ready to make. That is not. That's just for those rich people, is it not? A couple of facts about the world that we live in, brothers and sisters. At this moment, on this face of this earth, up to 811 million people, which is about 10% of the earth's population, regularly go to bed hungry. The war in Ukraine has made these conditions worse in this year that we are in, as the conflict restricts global food supplies, drives up prices, and threatens the world's most vulnerable people and the most vulnerable countries. The fact is, poverty is the principal cause of hunger. The world produces plenty of food. It is not about overpopulation. We have more than we can all need, or all that we all do need to live a healthy life, which they put down at 2,720 kilocalories, and I'm sure you guys can, science dudes can figure that out. But that is available in more quantities than we use. Nearly half of the world's population, more than 3 billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day. More than 1.3 billion live in extreme poverty, which is less than $1.25 a day. Perhaps that's something we should all think about before we buy our next can of Coke out of a dispenser. Today, 1 billion children worldwide are living in poverty. And according to UNICEF, 22,000 children die each day simply because of poverty. Now, these are somewhat downers of statistics, things that make us feel bad about the world and our lives, perhaps, but this is not why I'm saying them to you today. They should hit us all with a little impact of just how good we have it, as opposed to the bottom 10% of people in the country, or perhaps more than 50% of the people in the world. By the world's standards, and maybe by our own standards, maybe not compared to Larry Page and Sergey Brin, they founded Google, in case you didn't know, and are worth hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, or Mark Zuckerberg. Perhaps we aren't them that have net worths well over $100 million, but by the world's standard, everyone in this room is rich. If you go to bed hungry tonight, it's probably because you were too lazy to fix yourself something to eat, or you're on a diet and trying desperately to lose those 5 pounds that you've been carrying, not because food is not available to you, nor can you buy it. I dare say that all of us tonight will lay our heads down in a place that is at least close to the right temperature, and it's dry, if maybe not a little humid. We won't get rained on tonight. We won't get washed away in a flood. The fact of this is, we are rich. And when Scripture says, those of you who are rich, our ears need to perk up and listen, because God is speaking to us. The advice here to the rich is intended to come to each one of us. Now, the scripture here does not say that money is bad, but what it does tell Timothy then and us now is it is a gift from God that we have gotten. And like all gifts from God, that is a good thing. A very good thing. The question is not, are we happy we have it? Because I believe that all of us are very happy when we sit down to eat a meal, even in the commons, especially now in the commons. But this is something that we have to think about in our daily lives. It should be on our brains when we awake in the morning. Because it is about a choice that we must make about living into the eternal life that Christ has given to us. Not something we earn, but something that has been given to us. Scripture says they are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that is really life. And I would say to you here in the Greek that all these verbs are present tense right now, except one that's actually that troublesome aorist tense that means it denotes an activity that started somewhere in the past and is still going on. So they're all things that apply to us today. This isn't something, some message to some group 2,000 years ago, and we need not worry about it. This is a message to us. Clearly, Scripture is telling us, we, the rich people, that we must use our money or wealth to lay a foundation now, so that beginning now and continuing into the future, we can take hold of the life that has begun in Jesus Christ and will continue to be life that is really life. If we do not, the warning from the beginning of this pericope is that money will become a love and thus an idol that leads us away from life. I believe that money truly is the most consumed drug in this country. It teaches us, it takes us, and tricks us into going down a path of you must. You must acquire more. You must have more stuff than other people. You must have the new, latest stuff, the newest of everything that pops up on your computer screen or that commercial that you see somewhere along the way. It tells us we have to spend more for all the toys that are out there for us. And again, it says, the world says to us, this is the only way you can be happy, is to keep buying, keep consuming, keep getting more. While God says, look out for other people, make sure they have the necessities, make sure that all are sharing in this kingdom. Make sure that you don't get caught in this drug of cash. Don't let your life go down this line. And again, it's not that wealth is anything but a blessing. It is indeed a blessing from God. But like all blessings, if we are not careful to use them as the blessing is intended, it becomes something bad. We twist it into something not good for us. That is indeed what sin truly is. The fact is, we can be led by the blessings of our riches, not to the life that is really life, but into ruin and destruction if we are not very careful with this gift that has been given to us. Being a good steward, being one who is looking at the world not through our own eyes, but through the eyes of Christ, we can see what we have been blessed with. In this case, riches, wealthiness. And when we see that, we can make sure that we are rich in good works, generous and ready to share, taking hold of the life that is really life. That is what Christ wanted for us, dying on that cross. The chance to be free of all that calls us into a life that leads to death. He gave us this chance. On this day, this beautiful fall day, perhaps we can take a few minutes to assess how we are living, how we are caring for all that God has given to us, including those who won't go to bed with a full stomach tonight. I give thanks to God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for giving unto us the word that teaches us. Thanks be to God. Amen.